But in a time period where the world was on fire and, you know, everything was scary, this was a something that I could hold onto mm-hmm. and feel better about my life, even if I'm locked inside my house.
You can say, well, damn.
Welcome to episode 24, television. That was a clip of us chatting about the ways that we like to engage with television. Now, if you're rolling up into episode 24 looking for us to talk about how TV is bad...
Mm-hmm. There's no trash talking TV here.
We just enjoy chat. We're going to chat about all the different ways in which we can engage with television and enjoy it.
Exactly.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Welcome to the Witchy Wit Podcast, where we look at life through a witchy lens. I'm Kimberlyn.
I'm Leilani.
At Witchy Wit, we explore current events,
ideas,
music and books,
and experiences in ways that recognize energy and life in everybody and everything.
We are both real witches.
And we bring two real perspectives through the lens of our different ages,
races,
and backgrounds.
With a healthy skepticism for what we have been told is true, our conversations are raw, candid, and vulnerable.
Join us as we cast a spell to uncover what we each know is true in our intuitive, witchy selves. Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 24 of Witchy Wit.
Television. We couldn't remember who was supposed to start. Anyway, I think it was supposed to be me. And so, before we get into our discussion, let's just kind of see what's going on with each other and what's going on with you.
So I wanted to just share, this is a new experience for me, but as our listeners know, we're living in Texas right now. Mm. And, you know, I think one of the things I love about working in education is that I believe that education is inherently important and political because it's about the education of the next generation, right?
Right.
But what I think is really interesting is that this is the first time that I've ever really been caught in the crosshairs of politics in a way that is like slap you in the face, a parent. So, so it's just been interesting with the return to school after the kids have been out for a year doing mostly distance learning. And then, whenever this is my school district has been different from others, but like we went back to school and there was, our governor said, you can't mandate masks. And then, so we weren't wearing masks. Now I wore a mask, but like other, you know, like it was optional. And then our mayor, did a restraining order. So then we like had to wear masks. So then I come to work and everybody's wearing a mask. And then the Supreme Court of Texas knocked that down. So then I came to work and not everybody was wearing masks. I was still wearing a mask, you know, and then it like kept going back and forth. And then so finally the school district was like, we're just going to say everybody wears a mask until we figure this stuff out. Cause it was like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So, regardless of like what I think aside, it's just been really interesting being caught in that sort of intersection. And then also it makes me think about what must it be like to work in an environment where this is the norm. It's exhausting.
Right.
So like, what if I worked in reproductive healthcare?
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. and like, just imagining like what that would be like, geez, it's just exhausting. Mm-hmm. I have a whole new appreciation for what this must feel like for other people. And,
in other areas. Right. I read the news and I read, you know, what is it today? But mm-hmm. I keep forgetting, what does that feel like on the ground mm-hmm. for the people who have to do the same thing I do, which is basically open the newspaper and see what your day is going to be like, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, no, I'm sure when you get to school, they tell you too, but, you know, your first sign of what's going to happen that day comes from the newspaper or from the news or whatever.
Yeah. Ooh, it's exhausting.
Mm-hmm. I'm checking in on going back to school too.
Oh, wow.
But mine's a little bit different in as much as one of the things that we talked about for, I think, Samhain last year, and maybe in our dreams, desires, and goals, is how often as witches, we have a slightly different new year from everyone else, right? Yes. Samhain is considered the new year or the end of the old year or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for me, because I've been in academia for all of my life, I mean, there's been only a 6 month period when I was not in academia. My new year is August and September. Mm-hmm. And so, back in New Jersey, that also coincided with the weather change, you know, getting cooler and crisper. And so that, going from the warmth of summer to the crispness of fall was energizing for me. And going to school was associated with that. And the new, you know, it's all new faces. Everyone, at least for a few weeks, they were bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Later, you're bushy-eyed and bright-tailed or whatever.
Yeah.
But so it's even when, as I'm getting older and I'm getting closer to retirement, and I still feel that excitement. It's still, or in some cases, nervous excitement because I've got to finish my syllabi. Just saying. But particularly this year, because I had kind of gotten a little jaded and a little burnt out and kind of, you know, oh, maybe this will be the year I just phone it all in. And then I started working with this incredible pedagogy group that just caused me to rethink not just what happens in terms of race, but just what happens in terms of teaching and what happens in terms of just interactions between people. And so it's caused me to rethink how I'm teaching my classes. I have no idea how successful this is going to be, but I've learned a lot about how often I just teach a certain way because I was taught a certain way without any thinking about it. But, so we had a guest speaker in towards the end of the year called Kevin Gannon, and we read his book, Radical Hope, which is an incredible book, and I think you borrowed it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he said was, I'm sure, I don't know if you get this in the grades, but in the university, we get, some students get accommodations because they have either some sort of illness or, you know, whatever, for whatever reason. Usually the most common is they get time and a half to take an exam or something like that. And he said, well, you know, what if instead of, you know, making that student special and giving that student time and a half, what if you just gave everybody time and a half? And he said, and if you want to take that a step further, why not just not give timed exams? My head exploded when he said that. I could feel like my brain leaking out my ears.
Well, my answer is, well, because.
Exactly. Well, because.
And then I have this look on my face like, well, no one did that for, well, that's not how we're, but you can't, no good answers, just answers.
Yes, yes, yes. And so that whole idea about, so start from the very beginning and think why, instead of, okay, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, start with, why am I doing this? Why am I, which slows down the process a whole hell of a lot. So I think I'm going to just kind of ease myself into this instead of throwing out the baby with the bathwater and changing everything. I'm going to think about maybe how I approach assignments and class discussions. And then that's going to be my focus this year, and the next year something else and something else and something else. But just that thought of, why do we do this? Well, because that's been done. But that's not necessarily a good reason to do it, right?
Yeah.
So isn't that amazing?
It is really amazing. Yeah. And it makes me, I just think that I just look back on how I did things, and I know I was trying so hard. And I was probably more aware than, 90% of other people around me.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, there's so much that I could have done better.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly. So that is giving a little bit of more excitement, but also more anxiety, right? Because when you're doing something new, there's always the chance that, you know, the students are going to hate it, and then your course avails, and, you know, it just becomes a little bit yucky. And you want it to be a good experience for them too, right? So I will report back on that.
Television, episode 24.
Yay. I love these episodes where we can just basically talk about stuff we like. Well, I guess we kind of do that anyway, right? But
yes.
Yeah. But still, this is one of my favorite, well, two of my favorites were the book episode and the music episode.
You know, the music episode is one of the top downloaded episodes that we have.
No, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Analytics.
I do. I love data, and I love looking at the data. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, good. That's good to know. Excellent. So let's talk about television. So we want to start out first. Can I talk about the poem?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things we try to do is have a poem. And I looked, and all of the poems are really about how television rots your brain and things like that. And I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I have a, maybe more of a love-hate relationship, but more love than hate, because I'm of the, you know, turn it off if it's not working for me. So I couldn't find a poem that really, we're still looking, so we may find one, but I couldn't find a poem that actually spoke to my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about our experiences.
Yeah. And one thing I want to mm-hmm. say about that is that I feel a lot about television the same way I feel about social media mm-hmm. and other things that can enrich our lives, but that can also distract us.
Right.
You know, and like one of the things that I was thinking about in preparation to this episode was our group's agreements. And we have an agreement that used to be about numbing out, but mm-hmm. it used to be framed in a way that was not to use drugs and alcohol during mm-hmm. our rituals. And we have since changed it in right. a way that I love, because mm-hmm. now it's framed as being present and not numbing out. And there are a ton of ways to avoid things, mm-hmm. Avoid thinking about things or doing things. And drugs and alcohol are kind of, I would say, the low hanging fruit of
right.
people to point to, but there's a ton of other things.
Right.
Some of which could be television.
Right. And we're digressing a little bit. And some of which may be positive things, but they can still be numbing out if you use it to keep yourself from dealing
exercise with it. Exercise is a great thing, mm-hmm. but we can use it to distract and numb out exactly. and even hurt ourselves. So I just want to bring that energy to this episode and mm-hmm. say, I think that it's the easy way out is to be like, TV, bad. Social media, bad. Internet, bad.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I think it's... there's really wonderful things in all of those places when we choose to use it as a tool and to engage with it in healthy ways.
Exactly. And even more so than a tool, when we want to engage with it as a way of our connecting with something outside of ourselves, right?
I love that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yay.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk. So as a child, mm-hmm. when you were younger, mm-hmm. What was your relationship with television?
I had a very... what I would say is like picturesque, you know.
Okay, well, paint this picture.
Like your cliche.
Oh, okay.
You know, like when I think about it, like I would get up on Saturday or Sunday mornings and park my hiney with my little brother in front of the TV,
mm-hmm.
and or I would get home from school
mm-hmm.
and do my chores and then park my hiney in front of the TV, and I really enjoyed television as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I even think that there were signs pointing to my witchiness as a child, because
oh, really?
I really enjoyed the Munsters.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the Addams Family.
I love
so much so that yes. my imaginary friend as a child was named Morticia.
I love it. I love it.
Which is really interesting, because nobody else in my family was like really obsessed with that sort mm-hmm. of stuff. But mm-hmm. I just remember like loving it.
So
Morticia was my imaginary friend. But I loved aside from like the TV shows that children were supposed to consume, I was really drawn to old-timey television.
Mm, like what?
Like, so Get Smart was like my favorite.
Dun, da, da,
yeah.
Da.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Still to this day think that the Cone of Silence is like hilarious. But that also speaks to my, I have like a, I don't know, I, there's probably a better way to describe it, mm-hmm. but I think I have a very, I like stupid humor.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Get Smart was like very slapstick, you know, the same as like movies like Airplane
yes.
and other things, which
yes.
I, mm-hmm. by the way, tried to watch recently, and it was so inappropriate.
There's
so
oh
much,
my gosh.
It has
oh,
not aged
yeah,
well.
No.
It has not aged well. I'm
there
like, whoa.
Yes. I watched an old film too, and I was thinking, whoa,
ooh.
Wow.
Whoa. Ooh. That's not funny at all. Wow.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like, I liked a lot of old timey shows. Some of which okay. were black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I still to this day don't really know why I liked them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I really did like them. Mm-hmm. And then I liked Laverne and Shirley. And what modern day Leilani says about child Leilani,
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the two women. mm-hmm. like living on their own and that yes. like that yes. sort of stuff. Like
yes.
maybe budding feminist Leilani mm-hmm. was like saw that and was like, ooh.
So you know? Yeah, female empowerment, female mm-hmm. supporting each other and not undercutting each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mary Tyler Moore and Dick Van Dyke. I remember looking at her and thinking she was very beautiful. She would mm-hmm. wear these three-quarter length
yes!
slacks.
Yes. Yes.
And I remember looking at that and thinking like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
I now wear three-quarter length slacks.
Yes, yes.
What about you? What about you as a child?
Oh my gosh. Well, so, ow, did I sit myself? Oh God. I guess I didn't know where my mouth was. Anyway, so when I was young, my mom worked in a factory, and so she really wanted us to be dressed and ready to go to school when she left for work, and she had to leave for work like I think it's 7:30 in the morning. Because she didn't trust my dad to dress us properly, and with good reason. Because one time he did dress us, and well, I mean, you know, we thought we were looking fine, but you know, we didn't match or anything like that. Anyway, and so because of that, because we had to be up so that she could dress us and get you know and all that kind of stuff, I had to be in bed by 7:30. So which was fine in elementary school, you know, first few grades, but I had to be in bed by 7:30 through middle school. Until I started high school,
oh my
I was
gosh.
In bed at 7:30 every night. And then when I got to high school, my no curfew, I could just stay up as long as I wanted. And so did my little sister. Now that's the
now
part.
That's,
yeah. Like, what? She. I'm not bitter.
All older siblings are empathizing with you. I bet right now they're all like, mm-hmm.
Yes. And did she appreciate it? No. But anyway, so because of that, I never watched like. There were television shows like The Brady Bunch, or maybe I can't even remember, but different shows like that. And so the one thing I had an allowance, and the one thing I got with my allowance was a subscription to TV Guide. So when kids were talking about television shows, I could kind of pretend that
I feel like this is like the start of you being an academic.
It's like, oh, how pathetic is that?
Like, oh, I love reading about the Mickey Mouse. I mean, watching the Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and I hear that. And that's not going to be there next
Can
year.
Can you believe it?
And actually, I knew a lot more of the behind the scenes
you
stuff.
Did.
But when they started actually talking about, you know, what happened during the episode, I knew the summary so I could kind of hang. And then I was just very quiet mm-hmm. for the most part. But having said that, the television shows that came on before 7:30, they were my jam. So I had a couple of favorites. One was Lost in Space. I at the time I wasn't reading a whole lot of science fiction. We've talked about that in the books episode, but I must have had a drawing. Must have been drawn to that because I watched Lost in Space, and then my favorite was Star Trek, the original show with Kirk and Spock, mm-hmm. and I loved that show. I mean, I remember I used to have a reel-to-reel tape recorder, and I would tape the episodes. This is before, like, there was no such thing as VCR, people. You know, none of that kind of stuff where if you either watched it when it came on or you never watched it again unless it was really popular and then the rerun channels picked it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would record that, and that was my favorite. I had it so memorized. I could say, like, all you could hear... would be the star date, and I could tell you what episode it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. They're pretty geeky, right?
That's so awesome.
Well, in a geeky way, but thank you. Thank you. So those were my favorite shows. Like the things like The Twilight Zone. I loved What
I
If.
Did like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, speculative, outside the box, that sort of thing. I'm trying to remember what else.
Anything in minor key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was like, yes. Twilight Zone, I was like, ooh, this sounds pretty.
Yes.
I liked it.
Yes. I loved it. And one of my personal favorites was Mission Impossible.
Did you? That was a show?
Oh, yes. Yes, girl. Oh, mm. Okay. Well, again, two different perspectives.
Yes. Different ages.
Oh, my gosh.
So
yes.
Mission Impossible was a show?
Yes, it was. So, yeah, that was I loved it because, did you ever watch Leverage? It's kind of like, okay, never mind.
Like I lean on something and then...
No, it's a television show. Well, we'll talk about that in a bit. That's a little bit more modern.
Oh.
Yeah. But I loved Mission Impossible because they embodied these people. And, they, you know, at the end, they would pull their face off. Like they would, it would be, obviously it was a different actor or actress, mm-hmm. whatever, but they pulled the faces off and it turned out that they had made masks that looked exactly like somebody else, and they knew them so well that they could portray them among friends and family.
Whoa.
It's amazing.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah, that was a great show. Anyway, so those I could, well, I think Mission Impossible might have been when I was in high school. I can't remember now, but those are shows that I remember fondly as a kid.
Aww.
And I think that, I wonder how, like you said, Laverne and Shirley kind of foreshadowed a little bit of your, you know, your interest in women's energy, mm-hmm. and your possibly your witchiness. And so I'm wondering how the speculative quality, the what if quality, mm-hmm. kind of foreshadows where I went later.
Yeah, well, so Star Trek and mm-hmm. Lost in Space, those are, mm-hmm. you know, you love that stuff mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, oh yeah, science. Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. But and at the time, I don't know if people were sci-fi folks mm-hmm. then. And I had nothing to compare myself. I mean, I guess I was kind of in the hood. It wasn't like the hood. I mean, it was like a middle class, mm-hmm. kind of poor middle class neighborhood or whatever. But, you know, the other kids were not watching Star Trek, mm-hmm. and they were not watching. So I didn't have anyone to talk to. So that's where I kind of bubbled. I lived in my own little bubble, and I guess I had conversations with myself. Maybe Morticia. I don't know. You know, but I that's when I wrote fan fiction. I wrote some of my own stories based on Star Trek.
Aww.
Where, of course, Spock and Kirk all fell in love with me, right? You know, because, of course, I'm a teenage girl. So,
of course.
Yeah.
They're, like, fighting over you.
Of course,
although
yeah,
Kirk fighting over you and sleeping with you is not, like, far-fetched. He basically
okay,
slept with everybody.
I was going to say. But all you have to do is just show up.
You do. But you would be the best.
I would be the
You're
best.
You're the most memorable.
He would remember me
the
would.
Most. He'd be like that earthling.
Mm-hmm. A little smile. Secret smile. So, yeah, that was childhood. So let's talk a little bit about how we interact, like the different ways we use television or interact with television. Mm-hmm. What are some of the ways that you can think about?
So I had this experience with my partner last night,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to share it,
mm-hmm.
Because this really frames why I consume television the way I do.
Oh, okay.
So we're watching a show for enjoyment,
mm-hmm.
and I'm loving it and I'm laughing. And in this part of the show, one of the characters gets a text from his dad about him being disappointed in him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the plot moves on and we're like laughing and it's like funny again. And then I had this moment where I was like, oh, I'm feeling really sad. Something's
mm-hmm.
wrong. What's
mm-hmm.
wrong?
Mm-hmm.
My parents are disappointed with me.
Oh.
And then I was like, are they? And then I was like running through things
mm-hmm.
like, why
mm-hmm.
are my parents? Oh, no, no, no. His parents are disappointed with him. That's a plot point from the show. That's not reality. So like,
but you identify.
I do. Like the problem that I have with any sort of storytelling, whether it be, you know, in any like podcast, television, movies, and movies are really hard for me because they're so immersive and they're
mm-hmm.
longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my senses are engaged more. Like I have to be really careful. Otherwise, I take on the feelings and then like in that moment they become my own.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I could see why it would have that power. I mean,
mm-hmm.
because you know, if you allow, so it would seem to me that like you say, you're an empath. For me, I'm not quite sure exactly what my issue is, but but I can't. How a lot of people can watch TV and also like kind of like flip through a magazine or fold clothes or, you know, go in and out of the room
mm-hmm.
or whatever and not have to see part of it. I can't do that. I will try to do that. And like I'm folding up clothes and I'm going to take a towel from where I'm folding up the clothes to another
mm-hmm.
room. I will stand there. I mean, it's okay. You know how sometimes you see little kids watching television and they're kind of mesmerized,
yes.
like their jaws are.
Yeah.
I get like that.
Mm-hmm.
I get like, I cannot not watch,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I can hear it and it's, I could walk out of the room, but it's actually difficult for me. Even a show that I wasn't that interested in, it's difficult for me to just get up and not
mm-hmm.
watch it. So fortunately nowadays with the DVD,
yeah,
I mean the DVR,
yeah,
DVR, you can just pause it. But I mean, it takes me forever to watch a show
mm-hmm.
because I'm, and it's not even shows that I really, really like. That's just, that's the part that drives me nuts.
To our listeners, mm-hmm. I would recommend making sure you listen to our Fire episode because I talked about how I think that there's some connection between the flickering flame and the flickering of the television.
Yes.
And that we're like engaged with it. have nothing to back that up. That is not my area of study, but as a witch, I think that might be true.
Energetically, that makes so much sense. And yes, and it's people, right? And and I'm very interested in people, and I like to be with people. And so even though these are perfect strangers who are 2D, not anymore nowadays, but you know, they're in a little box. They're not friends of mine. I don't know them. I'll never see them again in some cases. I feel like I've got to watch their stories, you know, and that I get drawn into it, and I need to see what's going to happen to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, one of the things we talked about is that, television, it's like anything else. It can be a positive. It can be a negative. Mm-hmm. So the negative for me is that I just get caught up in it. Mm-hmm. Even when I don't necessarily want to be.
I love that we both get caught up in it, but just in different ways.
Yes.
That's so cool.
I know.
Okay. I'm going to jump in and I'm just going to like rip the Band-Aid off and admit, I'm just going to straight up admit to it. Television as just a distraction to unplug, brain candy, just, you know, rot my brain. Mm-hmm. I watched The Tiger King. I'm just going to admit it.
You and millions of other people, apparently, particularly during the pandemic.
We were all trapped inside. It was during the pandemic, and it was when lockdown first happened, and I was trapped in my house, and...
Was it reality TV or was it scripted TV or?
I mean, it was reality TV.
Okay.
In that other people's reality is not reality.
Okay.
But it was reality TV.
Okay. Well, it was following a real life person doing whatever their real life supposedly was. Okay.
If you like watching a train wreck that crashes into a highway that crashes off of a bridge with some like exploding.
So is this something I could watch one episode of and kind of understand why people were mesmerized by it and walk away?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And my experience of it was, I probably never would have watched, I wouldn't have watched it if it weren't for the pandemic, but in a time period where the world was on fire and, you know, everything was scary, this was something that I could hold onto and feel better about my life, even if I'm locked inside my house.
You could say, well, damn.
You're like, wow, at least I have all my teeth and, you know, like my arm didn't get bit off by a tiger you know, like I...
Good times.
You know, like I'm not living in a shed. You know, like there were all these things that were happening and I was like, wow.
Okay.
So, I mean, it wasn't coming from the highest part of myself, but coping in a time period like that, it was okay.
It's like, well, you know, it's like we talked about numbing out. It's like food. You know, there's sometimes you go to a super expensive restaurant and where you get like little amuse-bouche.
Yes.
And you have that and you sit and you savor. And sometimes you go to all you can eat and you just like chow down. And,
yes.
And fortunately, television has that variety, right?
Yes.
Because one of the things I had kind of gotten out of the habit of watching TV, I would basically what I did when I graded, I would have television on for noise in the background, but I would turn to something that I could kind of watch a little bit and go back in. So National Geographic, Ancient Aliens, just saying.
Aliens.
And how, you know, like the Egyptian, they were really aliens, but the Egyptians thought they were gods and stuff like that. You know, so stuff like that, and where they show how, you know, the heads on Easter Island, you know, that kind of stuff, because you can kind of come up, you know, like, you know, emerge for a minute, you got your breath, watch a little bit, and then go back to grading. Yeah, yes. it doesn't distract you.
Mm-hmm.
Other things when I'm trying to grade are way too, I can't. Yeah. I just can't.
Yeah.
I was saying all of this because we were talking
about distraction and distraction.
Yeah, but one of the things this past year, we're going to talk a little bit about how we use television as a form of connection. One of the things I've done this past year is because I've been doing some stuff with my friend, I've been watching a lot of good television. Mm-hmm. We've been on like Netflix and Stars and, you know, all of these things. And they'll have 40 television shows and I only watch one. But it's incredibly well-crafted, well-written. So I think this past year, I've kind of fallen back in love with television. It wasn't that I was jaded or, you know, television's horrible. I just kind of just got out the habit. So let's talk a little bit about that if you
I do want to. I don't mind.
So one of the things, a friend of my friend Marilyn and I, she lives in Maryland, the state, mm-hmm. but her name is also Marilyn. So what we'll do is we'll watch, right now we're watching Lupin. No, we're watching In Treatment. It's mm-hmm. on the HBO Max or something. Anyway, we'll open a Zoom room so we can talk to, mm-hmm. so we can watch it. Like one of us will run it off of their screen. Mm-hmm. So we're watching the same thing. And then we'll FaceTime each other.
Oh.
So we can talk and, you know, watch, and we make ourselves snacks.
That's so fun.
It's so much fun. And we've been watching, we started this with This Is Us. And yeah, because we kept trying to start where we were, where we'd left off, but it's so confusing. So we ended up going back a few mm-hmm. Seasons, and then we started watching other shows. And it's just this really good quality television out there. And it's a wonderful opportunity to just sit. It's almost like we're sitting in the same room.
It has to be almost mm-hmm. exactly mm-hmm. the same.
It's very communal.
That's so wonderful. Yeah,
and because we're talking for hours on end, because it's mm-hmm. FaceTime, and it's like you pay for it, it's your data right. or whatever. It can be like the kind of fun conversations when you can sit in silence for a while and then just think about what you're, mm-hmm. you know, something will come up and you can talk about it, as opposed to a conversation where you got to, you know, think and talk yes. for a half hour or whatever yes. and get and squeeze everything
yeah.
in.
Yeah, which I think is the difference between like really getting some quality hangout time mm-hmm. versus like the time when you're doing that, mm-hmm. like you go see the movie and then you leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, I love mm-hmm. that for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. so cool.
Yeah. So what kind of ways do you use television for connection or...
So for me, it's hard for me to find a show that I really like, but whenever
that, really like?
That I really mm-hmm. like, and because I'm, for better or for worse, I'm very go, go, go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, you
like,
yes,
if,
you are.
If I have spare time at home, I'm more likely, I'm more likely to either journal or do tarot, mm-hmm. this tarot this year. Or something mm-hmm. else, or a handstand, you know, like let's do a handstand workout,
yeah.
mm-hmm. then like sit and enjoy something. But whenever I find a TV show that I really like, it's really fun for me because it's rare, and then I'm like, ooh, yay!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like TV shows that I have really liked, I love Modern Family.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I just love Modern yeah. Family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like one, and then it's been like this hiatus since Modern Family.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved A Good Place.
Oh yes, somebody I've heard about that.
Mm-hmm. That was so good. Mm-hmm. I so enjoyed it. And then the last few episodes, I just wept with all these beautiful feelings. Mm-hmm. Like so much so that I'm watching it with my partner that like we would have to take breaks. like mid episode, you know, just like I have to stop it here, and then I would just cry.
I need a moment.
I would walk away. But that was so good. And then now, the one that I'm so happy that we found another one that I really, really like, and it's Ted Lasso.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that... Okay, tell me why, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just feel-good, good-hearted, kind-hearted, mm-hmm. but also, like, real stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's this last episode that we watched, the owner of the football... soccer mm-hmm. for people over here on this side of the pond.
Yeah.
Club. She's like wanting to set healthy boundaries, mm-hmm. and this like younger girl character who's like a teenager
mm-hmm.
Is like calling her boss ass bitch as she like sets these boundaries, and like the younger girl's like teaching her how to set boundaries, you know, and they're like affirming each other, and it's so fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But I it's like heartfelt and mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I'm gonna watch them.
But it's not just mm-hmm. like empty heartfelt.
Mm-hmm,
like it's
mm-hmm.
not like a hollow. It's like mm-hmm. even though it's heartfelt, there's still good mm-hmm. things going on in the plot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so fun to enjoy something enough that I want to invest.
Right, right.
Because
right.
If I don't, then I'm like, meh, you know, and
yeah.
then like I'm we'll go to Kansas or something.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, I totally get that, and I think I love hearing about television shows that friends have loved
mm-hmm.
that I know I can then go and watch,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to starting, you know, it used to be, I don't know if they still do, but it used to be September was the start of the new
yeah.
season, and, you know, things have kind of moved away from that, but I remember, you know, getting the TV guide or in the newspaper or whatever and reading about the new shows and trying to decide if I wanted to watch it or not. Because again, you're making a commitment and all
mm-hmm.
that sort of stuff. But I love it this way because that way, So you can recommend and you can tell me what you like about it, and then I can make a decision.
Yeah.
And I've totally gotten out of that. Okay, I watched the show Tuesday night. Now I have to wait till next Tuesday night to watch it. That I can kind of binge it and see the progression of in a short period of time.
So let's have a quick conversation about binge watching.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Do you binge watch shows?
Dang. Yeah, girl.
Really? And what has been watch? What was binge watching look like for you?
Okay. So with my friend Marilyn, we will watch anywhere depending on when we start our evening. Mm-hmm. We will watch anywhere from about. I think that the shortest we've watched is 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So it could be like in treatments, I think half hour shows, right? So 4 episodes. And sometimes we'll start like on a Saturday afternoon and then go to like 1 in the morning,
oh
Sunday morning.
Gosh.
Yeah. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. How fun.
Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. I love binge watching. I like to line up my little snacks, have my little drink, we have a little couple of moments and then we'll run to the bathroom, feed the dog. Because I like to, there's no delay of gratification, right? You get to see the next episode. Mm-hmm. And I like to kind of see it happen, not in real time, but in my time, So I'm all for binge watching. When Netflix first started that, oh golly, it has to be 10, 15 years ago now. I was like, yes! the show that I binge watched was Friday Night Lights.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I was a walk on in Friday Night Lights. So
what's a walk on?
I had a walk on on the show.
You were an extra?
Yeah, an extra. Oh, okay. Oh, an extra. I was an extra.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so to kind of prepare.
You're
for
so
my,
cool.
To prepare for my walk on.
Oh yes.
I decided to watch the show, and then it's like, oh, this is good. Oh, and I've also binge watched Glee. That wasn't necessarily a show that I loved the music, and I loved some of the characters. Some of them I thought were kind of caricatures. Mm-hmm. I loved the cheerleading coach, and her. She had a sister, I think, who had Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Those were episodes where I would have to stop because I'd like really well up and cry, and they were just so sweet because she could be such a bitch with everybody. And so warm and loving with her. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, take a guess with me. Do you think that I binge watch?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Really?
No.
So what if all of these episodes are available?
Mm-hmm. The idea of being trapped in front of a screen for hours on end.
When you put it that way, that totally makes sense. No. That totally makes sense.
No. Now, when we got to the end of like A Good Place,
mm-hmm.
I think we watched maybe 2 episodes mm-hmm. in a row mm-hmm. because I was really wanting it. Mm-hmm. And I treated it more like a movie. Like mm-hmm. I knew it and I planned it into my schedule. Mm-hmm. This is what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. But that's really, really, really rare. But I enjoy the episodic nature and that like I can sit down almost like reading a chapter of a book and putting it down. Mm-hmm. Like I can enjoy it, but then move on to my other things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you put it that way, it totally makes sense. But yeah,
and even if they're like Ted Lasso is like one full season and part of the second season is already released, but like I'll. You know, I still have like 3 or 4 episodes left, mm-hmm. but like I'll wait 2 or 3 days until I have the opening in my schedule that I feel like is appropriate that I will enjoy.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
Just different.
Well, you know, you say it's like reading a chapter from the book.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I got the Harry Potter books, a friend gave me like all 4 books,
mm-hmm.
and my ex and I were down at the coast. I remember staying up to 3 in the morning finishing the first. So I have no boundaries whatsoever when it comes to finishing it, So I binge everything. Yeah. But it's I just love just, just knowing that I have that time in the day. You know, mm-hmm. I have a magazine or my crocheting, so I'm doing something. Yes. So the time is not just watching.
Yeah.
But I love sitting my fat happy ass and just watching me some shows.
This is not television, mm-hmm. but I remember watching Lord of the Rings in the movie theater, mm-hmm. and I was just so bored.
Well, yeah, it does move kind of slowly if you're not into that.
It was the plot points were fine. It was all the epic battles, and I'm just like, okay, you killed people. Can we move on? Can we get to some trees? Let me see some ants. Like, I'm just like, I remember like looking at this, like the lighting sconces on the side of the,
oh,
and I'm
honey.
Just like, oh yeah, like they're parallel to the ones over there, you know.
Oh, I so see you doing that. I really do. Oh my. Okay. You'd mentioned that you'd love Ted Lasso and mm-hmm. Lasso or Lasso?
Lasso.
Okay. And you told me why you like that, but tell me a little bit about why Modern Family was one of your favorites.
So I also like Modern Family for similar reasons. Mm-hmm. I think I like shows about connection and community and that are like more deep dives into like psychological things, even if it's just a peek into other people's lives. And I feel the same way about, so I really like Star Trek, but I'm not a science fiction person. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed The Next Generation, otherwise known as TNG.
TNG, yep.
Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't really about the spaceships and the aliens. It was about like exploring cultures.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I think that's those are shows that I can connect to. And that also tend to be pretty like uplifting and kind-hearted because I'm an empath, so I feel things. So like watching, like I tried to watch Game of Thrones and it was just like so intense that yes. I was like, I mean, I was probably about 10 minutes in and someone's face got curb stomped and I was like, I cannot do this. The costumes are pretty. I like dragons.
Yeah.
But I like, you know, but I get why people really love it. So I don't have a judgment on it. It just is like, not for me. It's like spicy food. I get why people like it. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it that you do. I feel somewhat left out that I don't get to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But like we can still like live our lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you why, because I did watch Game of Thrones to the bitter end.
Ooh, and it was bitter.
And it was bitter. Whoa. And I didn't know because every time someone, because I was always at least a season behind. Mm-hmm. I remember one of my students in my intro to film music class, they had to bring in clips to talk about various like camera shots and camera angles and stuff. And it was an episode, I really got spoiled where someone got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like one of my favorite characters. I know. And I.
Spoiler?
Yes. And he said, and he, after he showed the clip, he said, he lives. I said, he can't possibly live. I saw him die. He said, trust me, he lives. but I said all of that to say that every time anyone said anything about it, I kind of put my fingers in my ears, la, 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 because I didn't want to know. But the reason I watch it is kind of the same reason that you like Modern Family is there were certain characters that I just really wanted to follow their development. So Arya, the youngest girl, and just how she grew and developed. And I just, you know, I don't know if I identified with her, but I really was rooting for her. And, and even when she made choices that I would not make, I could still like be there. I don't know if I felt like I was her mother or something like that, but I was really into her. And then the one who, spoiler alert, and then Daenerys, when, you know, she became Hitler. I remember thinking in this, you know, everyone was saying, what a horrible thing. And, you know, how could they do this to this character and make her do this about face? I saw it in the second season. Mm. And so I was trying to negotiate this character that I really wanted to succeed because she had been so crapped on beforehand. Mm-hmm. And then every time she made one of those choices that I wouldn't make, I'd say, okay, this is why, you know, there's 31 flavors. She can do this and I can still, like with Arya. Mm-hmm. But she started, I followed her because I wanted so desperately to love that character. And I because she was doing so many things right,
mm-hmm.
and then I just started to fall away from her. But I had to watch her to the end,
mm-hmm.
and so I hated my gosh, the violence, the blood spurting, and the whole bit. But just being able to see the character grow and develop, even if they didn't develop in a way that I appreciated, was something that I thought. They did so well. They strung me to the bitter end.
So I have a question for you as a music-y person who literally has all of those degrees in music and stuff. Why is that opening song so good?
Because it starts in minor, it goes to major.
It starts in minor?
Yes.
I love minor music. No wonder I loved it so much. I'm like, I don't know don't even like this show, but I love this song.
Yeah. It's actually kind of more modal, but which is minor with jazz.
Okay? I don't know what the difference is, but okay, cool. But
yeah, and then it goes into major and goes back and forth. So it has this kind of energy, which is hard, which people often don't associate with minor, but it has this incredible energy because the rhythm is a little asymmetrical, mm-hmm. The length of the phrases are slightly off, okay? And then just when you kind of get used to that energy in minor, they go into major for a little bit, and I love the composer of that wrote the music for a couple of other shows, and anything he writes for, I love the music. He's an incredible composer. Wow. So yeah, I love that opening.
Wow, thank you so much mm-hmm. for explaining it to me. Sure. I was like, this is wonderful.
I know it's. And I saw that they use that same kind of energy now with a couple of other shows. Now that I'm watching TV again, I'm seeing this like on Stars and things like that. But you know, that opening where it really draws you into not the story. See, a lot of times opening credits draw you into the story. They show you the characters, et cetera, et cetera. In this, they draw you into the underlying premises and emotions that are the basis of those characters. And so that's one of the things that I love about his music is that it just takes you deep. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did not like the show and I didn't mm-hmm. engage with the show, but man, that song.
And a lot of the music, I think I'll check and see if I have a playlist on Spotify I can send you to. But it's pretty amazing. Yeah,
that's so cool. Mm-hmm. Thanks for nerding out about that. 'Cause...
that's what musicologists do. Yeah. Oh, so a couple of other shows that I really like, and they really fall along. You know, once you figured out what I liked as a kid, everything else kind of falls in line with that. One of the shows that I loved in the early, no, I guess it was the teens, the 20 teens, mm-hmm. Was Leverage. And that's with, I'm trying to remember who the star is. He's one of the teenage actors who actually made it as Timothy Hutton. And, it's an incredible show where he gets together, you know, a thief, a grafter, a hacker, but they help people who've been screwed by the system. So they use all of these talents that are not supposed to be for the good, but they use them for the good. And so there's a reboot. It just started this season, and I'm watching that now. But that's another show. It's kind of like Mission Impossible. Very much like Mission Impossible, where they kind of get into, they create these...
Was Mission Impossible a TV show?
Oh, don't start with me.
No, I'm serious. This is another show. Like, it was a show. It wasn't just movies.
Okay, we just had this discussion like a half hour ago.
Was that Mission Impossible? Oh, that was a different show.
No, it's Mission Impossible. Oh. Oh, we might have to edit that out. I was like, are you fucking with me?
No! I thought there was it Mission Impossible? I guess it was Mission Impossible. Oh my gosh. You said Lost in Space was a TV show, and I just thought that was a movie. So apparently that's a TV show.
Yeah, it's a TV show too.
Anyways, okay. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Oh my god. Anyway, so it's a great show, but it's along that same line as Mission Impossible, where so the premise was, since one of them is a grifter, is that they have a con. So there's always this elaborate scenario that they create. So basically the person that they're trying to scam, they just use what that person is like to scam them. So they know that person and they create a scam around that. So all of the episodes were like the Ethiopian con, where it's like I'm an Ethiopian prince, and you know, some of you, so they mm-hmm. they base it on real apparently real types of cons, and then they use it to make something right for somebody who's been screwed by the system. Oh. And so it's and they, you know, they embody different characters and things like that, so it's pretty amazing. I like that. And just like Mission Impossible, which is a television show.
Which is apparently a television show. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I realized as I was thinking about TV, as we were getting ready for this episode, that I was thinking about how I really like nonfiction books mm-hmm. and I like poetry, mm-hmm. and then I also like nonfiction podcasts. Mm-hmm. So then I was thinking about television, and there was a time period in my life where I binged a lot of television. It's what I did. Like, I would come home from work, and then I would sit in front of the TV. I would make dinner, and I would sit in front of the TV, and that's what I did between eating and bed. Mm-hmm. Like, every night. Which is weird, because that's not who I am now, and it's not who I've been for a really long time, but it was an interesting time period in my life.
Yeah.
But the shows that I would, like, watch, I would just turn on the TV and then, like, watch, like, whatever TLC had on, and it was, like, Say Yes to the Dress and Parking Wars, which was, like, this thing, like, that followed parking meter people, like, who would, like, give you tickets for, like, expired parking meters.
So the conflict would be when they'd get somebody and someone would start yelling at them?
Yeah, or they were, like, booting their car, and someone would be like, no, don't boot my car! And he'd be like, you're parked in this no parking thing. No! And then they'd argue. I know. Which, like, but well, it's interesting to me, like, I look back on that, and I'm like, I really would watch, like, an hour of Say Yes to the Dress, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and then Parking Wars, and, like, wow.
Yeah. I went through that period. In my case, I think I was going through a little bit of depression, but whatever, where I'd come home.
Samesies.
Yeah, well, you know. There we go. That's another episode. But I'd come home, I'd kind of do the same thing. I'd fix myself a drink. There was a whole lot of maybe not the best behaviors. I'd fix myself a drink, and I'd watch Law and Order. Mm. And it's hard to not binge watch.
Is that the dun-dun?
Yeah, okay. Because, you know, you think, okay, I'm just going to watch one episode, then I'm going to get up, make myself a real meal, mm-hmm. You know, do some work, and then go to bed. And then 3 hours later, because as one episode's going off, you hear dun-dun, mm-hmm. and it's like, you can't not watch. You know, the next episode's starting, and they hook you so quickly that they have a new, I mean, whoever does their script writing, the first 10 seconds or 12 seconds, you start watching. Mm-hmm. You get drawn in. It's usually whoever the people are that discover the body, mm-hmm. but like you get drawn into their story so quickly. It's incredible writing. It's like people who write really good short stories, mm-hmm. where you just fall right into it. You get immersed in it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would, you know, 4 hours later, I will have eaten something that I just grabbed out of the refrigerator. I mean, it's like this, not the best behavior. So that's the kind of behavior that people talk about when they say don't watch television.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing it well.
And I think that that's interesting that you and I both can identify time periods in our life where we have enjoyed television as something to enjoy, something to augment, mm-hmm. and something to appreciate. Like you said, the amuse-bouche, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that even if you're doing it for hours on end with your friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then it sounds like we both have also engaged in using television as a numbing out agent.
Oh, right. Very much so. Very much so. And it can be all of those things. That's the beauty of it. And so when people say, oh, I don't have a television in my house, I was like, okay, well, that's a nice choice, interesting mm-hmm. choice. I do have I have two televisions mm-hmm. in my house. I don't know. Well, anyway. But yeah, and so, and there's this element of snobbery that's involved when people start talking about television. Mm-hmm. You know, the first will be, sometimes people will say things like, oh, well, I don't have a television, which is fine. But some people say, well, I only watch PBS. That's also, you know, okay, that's a choice too. Uh-huh. And then there's people, you know, like me, I'm inconsistent. I could have said a year and a half, two years ago, I barely watch television. Mm-hmm. But I don't consider that an element of saying what, I don't necessarily feel like that tells you anything about me as a person. It might tell you where I am at that point in my life or something. Mm-hmm. But I think some people take that as kind of a statement about their quality or status.
Does that make sense? It makes total sense. Haters gonna hate, and I just think, like, so I don't own a television, mm-hmm. and I haven't for a mm-hmm. long time.
Wait, how are you watching all this television?
Well, I did. Well, during the time when I numbed out, I watched Parking Wars and Say Yes to the Dress. I did have a television.
Okay,
I had multiple televisions in my house.
Okay, gotcha.
But since my divorce, I haven't had any televisions. But he took them when he left, and then for a while, I couldn't afford to replace them, but then I just never. Then I changed my habits, and also, you know, stopped being depressed.
Right. Well, yeah, that often helps.
But my partner has an iPad.
So television.
Yeah,
which has changed my.
Oh my gosh. Yes. But I just think, like, haters gonna hate. People are gonna throw shade, and mm-hmm. and it mm-hmm. doesn't. And it drives me bonkers when people are like, "Oh, I don't own a television. Oh, I don't watch TV," or oh, I don't eat fast food, or oh, I'm a vegan, or like whatever bullshit people want to feel high and mighty about.
They're going to,
because it's like the television is not the problem.
Exactly. You
know, having enjoying, I don't know, like enjoying a people like love Whataburger, which is like a certain type of burger chain we have in Texas. Enjoying a honey butter chicken biscuit from Whataburger, like whatever, like.
Sounds kind of interesting. I might follow you out.
People love honey butter chicken biscuits from Whataburger. I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat them, but like I don't judge.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
You know, I just think people are gonna use it as a way of trying to, you know, put other people down and make themselves feel better.
Exclusive, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. It's all just a tool, and if we all just like are aware of our use, like, we'll be aware of how we use things.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of it. Is the, you know, like we were talking about different ways of participating or in being involved with engaging with television, you know, for comfort, for or maybe we didn't say that, I don't know, but for connection, just for enjoyment, and sometimes to numb out. And that's, I mean, I think that that's a lot of it, but it has nothing to do with the television. It has everything to do with the person, right?
Preach.
Amen. You know, so I think so, but again, people, like you say, haters gonna hate. People will use anything to be exclusive, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't hardly watch any television at all, you know? Okay, whatever.
All of our exclusive people have English, like bad English accents.
That's bad French. So, but yeah, but that, you know, that idea is, I have this, or I am this, and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and so people will do that with television as well. And there's some pretty bad television out there, right?
Sure.
So, I can see why, but I think, you know, that idea of kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, just lumping it all together, it might be easy, but it's not necessarily factual or not necessarily reflective of what's out there.
And I think in this conversation with you and in my life in general, it's been a really wonderful practice for me to remove the judgment and to just be mindful and to enjoy the fact that I have the luxury of this sort of entertainment.
Yes.
And enjoy it and appreciate it. And even if my coworkers don't watch the same things as me or have different watching habits, like, just appreciating that, like, what a luxury it is that I get to have this.
That's exactly. So you shared your guilty pleasure, which I assume was the Tiger King. No, Tiger.
It was the Tiger King.
Okay. My guilty.
I can't believe I admitted it. But, okay. What is yours?
But we love you, girl.
Thank you.
Mine was Outlander.
Do you know what that is?
Okay, so it's a great premise. I guess it would be considered fantasy or science. I don't know. It's a woman who, she goes to these standing stones in Scotland, and she's thrown back 200.
Standing stones.
Yes, exactly. 200. Yeah, and they're actually witches who were dancing. She goes to see them do the dancing that night, and then she's there the next morning because she forgot something, and she goes to the stones, and apparently only a certain lineage can actually have this interaction with the stones, where she touches her hands on it, and she's thrown back in the past 200 years.
Ooh.
Yeah, so, but what's, the guilty pleasure about this is that there's a lot of sex. And I had not watched television for many, you know, years. And I guess I watched network television and stuff, and some stuff, and like, to me, Game of Thrones was really, really racy, but it was HBO, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Starz is also a pay, but I hadn't watched anything other than HBO, so I didn't realize, you know, how much television had changed.
Oh.
So the first time I saw a naked man, and not just his back, but his front.
What? You can do that on TV?
On Starz, you can, apparently.
No way.
Yeah. Yes, I did. I saw. I was like,
yes, you did.
Yeah, I was like, that's not his
hat. Well, hot damn!
Was it
a hot damn, or was it like not hot damn?
No, it was a hot damn.
Oh, hot damn!
But it was. It really was like, no, he didn't. I mean, they're not doing. I mean, and that's the thing, is I thought it was, you know, in some film in the 70s or 80s, you saw like a real quick flash.
Uh-huh.
And I remember people, you know, the ink that was spilled over that. This was like a long shot, baby.
Doesn't
literally
it have
a
to
long
be
shot.
Floppy, though?
It does have to be floppy. I don't think they can be erect. But that's a different type of film.
I can still enjoy it.
That's a different type of television.
I can enjoy all of the landscapes.
That's right, exactly.
I just enjoy the trees, enjoy
the bushes, in whatever state the trees might be in.
That's right.
So, but there's a lot of sex. It's actually gotten to, because, you know, when first it's very titillating, it's like, oh my God, a sex scene. It's like, you know, after a while, I just started fast forwarding.
It's like me with the battle scenes in Lord of the Rings. I'm like, I get it. It's an epic battle. Move on.
But I never thought I'd get to a stage where, like, it's like, I'm not, like, you know, it's a sex scene, but it's like, no.
It's okay.
I know.
I get it. Y'all really like each other. I get it. The pipes work. Moving on.
But that was such, I said, wow. Yeah. That a show where there's actually too much sex. Dang. Television's changed.
There you go.
It has changed. And I'm kind of catching up, so.
I'm imagining people, like, you telling people hundreds of years ago, there will be forms of entertainment, and you will be tired of the sex. And they're all like, what?
What? No way.
No. Yeah.
Not even 100 years ago, like 20 years ago.
You're tired
of the
floppy wieners. Like, you gotta move on. Like what? No.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, that was Outlander was my guilty pleasure.
We hope you have enjoyed the magic that has unfolded here at Witchy Wit.
It would be great if you would help make Witchy Wit possible and get access to exclusive content by donating on Patreon.
We'd love it if you join our Witchy community and enjoy shareable content on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Would you do us a big favor and support us by rating and reviewing us wherever you get your podcasts? It's free and helps witchy folks find us.
Feel free to email us at witchywitpodcast@gmail.com. We love to hear from our community. Reach out and let us know what's brewing in your cauldron.
New episodes are released every second and fourth Friday. Follow us on your favorite podcasting platform so our episodes go right to your playlist. You can listen as you ride your broom.
Stay witchy, y'all!